That's my phone.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your great love and mercies. Thank you for your help in our lives. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for your blessings that you have released into our lives. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for destroying the works of darkness that were formed against us. Thank you for glorifying your name in our lives and situations. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for making impossible things possible in our lives. Thank you for replacing our weaknesses with your strength. Thank you for fighting our battles. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We are grateful, Lord, for your wonderful promises that are already coming to pass in our lives. Thank you for the grace you have given to us to do what is right in your sight. Continually. Thank you for empowering us to do your will. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for keeping us in perfect peace and in joy and in good health. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your commitment towards answering our prayers in this ministry. Thank you, Father. We are also grateful for all that you have taught us through your word. We are grateful for the understanding and revelations of your word that we now have. And that is changing our lives. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. We are here once again to learn at your feet. Oh, Lord, minister to every life. In Jesus' name, bless every one of us. In Jesus' name. Help us to know much more than we have ever known. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for we know you're going to do all these things we have asked you. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. I believe that the Lord would open your eyes as we go through these teachings. Amen. Now, we are going to be looking at another topic. I don't forget we have been considering a title called persecution. So we're going to be looking at one of the other topics. Last week we talked on having joy in persecution. Today we are going to look at do not be ashamed. Do not be ashamed when you are in persecution. Don't be ashamed. Yeah. I want us to open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 15. Isaiah chapter 15, verse 7. Isaiah 15, verse 7. For the Lord God will help me. Isaiah 50 verse 7. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 50 verse 7. I want us to look at it in another translation. It says, because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my feet like a stone, determined to do his will, and I know that I will not be put to shame. This is New Living Translation. Yeah, it says, because the sovereign Lord helped me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a stone, determined to do its will. Now you can see that this translation breaks it down. Yeah, because in the King James Version, what you saw is a flint. Yeah. I might be wondering what is a flint. Yeah, but here in the New Living Translation, you can now understand what it means to set your face like a flint. That is to have a very strong determination, just as a stone is very hard. Yeah, or just like a rock. Are very hard. Yeah, so we should have a very hard and very strong determination to do God's will at this time. So here Isaiah said, he is going to set his faith as a flint or like a stone. Yeah. strong determination is what the Lord requires from us. Strong determination to do His will, even in the face of serious persecution, even during intense persecution. God wants us to be very determined in doing His will. I pray that you will be determined to do the will of the Lord, even if the whole world turns against you. In Jesus' name. So here He said, because the sovereign Lord helped me, I will not be disgraced or confounded, because the sovereign Lord helps me. So God helped us in persecution. Even when it looks like you are being disgraced, you are not actually being disgraced. Even when it looks like you are being shamed, you are not actually being shamed. Yeah, because the Lord is there to help you. There was a story of a young lady who was being persecuted by her parents because she surrendered her life to Jesus. So the parents became very mad at her, and because the parents were unbelievers. So they became very angry, and they stripped her naked. After they must have beaten her, they tore her clothes. They stripped her naked and they sent her out of the house. And she was crying. So as she was going on the street, she thought she was naked, but she was not. Because the Lord clothed her. The Lord put a dress on her, though she didn't see that dress. But everyone that was passing by, they saw her wearing a very beautiful dress. But she thought she was naked. So it was when she went to one of the brethren in the fellowship she attended. It was when she got there that was when she realized that she had not been naked to the eyes of other people, because the person was also seeing a very beautiful dress on her. Even when it looked like when you feel like you have been disgraced or shame, you are not actually being shamed, because the Lord is helping you, because the Lord is with you in the midst of your persecution, and He's helping you. You know, God knows the end from the beginning. He knows what will happen before they happen. So God have made plans ahead for your deliverance even before you find yourself in trouble. Yeah, so always have that in mind. Yeah, even when you feel you are being shamed, you are not actually being shamed because the Lord is helping you. I pray that you always remember this word whenever you find yourself in persecution, in Jesus' name. Yeah, so if some people will say, how can I escape from this shame? Everybody know about it. Everybody now know about what they did to me. How can I save myself from this shame? God is able to remove your memory, I mean, the memory of you from the minds of people. Yeah. God is able to remove the negative thought or wrong impression that people have about you, maybe because of an incident or an event that happens to you. God is able to remove those wrong impressions, wrong thoughts from people's mind. Yeah. So always remember that even when it looks like you are going through shame, you are not actually being shamed. Why or how? Because the Lord is helping you. Yeah. And He knows how to rescue you. Yeah, there are cases where some people have been blackmailed. Yeah, they have been blackmailed. They have been slandered. And they were ashamed. But God stepped in. And the same people that blackmailed them, slandered them, and spoke wrongly of them, now became the same people that was celebrating them, promoting them, and honoring them. Yeah. So we should not be ashamed, irrespective of what anyone did to you. Yeah. Don't be ashamed. Do not be ashamed because your God is helping you. Your God is helping you. In fact, you should pity the people that are attacking you or persecuting you. You should pity them because they are the ones that will be put to shame eventually. Yeah, they are the ones that will suffer shame eventually. I pray that the Lord will give you more understanding of His word in Jesus' name. Let us also look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 16. First Peter chapter 4. Verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Why? Verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at home, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Yeah, what Peter was trying to say is that you should glorify God if you suffer as a Christian, or suffer because you are a Christian, or suffer because you committed all your life towards doing the will of God. Apostle Peter said, do not be ashamed, but glorify God because of that. Why? Because judgment is coming. And judgment will start from the house of God. Yeah, God knows about our, he knows about persecutions that we face or will still face. And God intentionally allows it so that we can prove our faith and love. That is, so that we can prove our faith in Him and our love for Him during those times. Yeah. And those who failed to prove their trust, their faith in God and their love for God in those times shall partake of God's judgment. Yeah, so everything is a test. Everything that is going on in this world, especially the ones we have to experience as Christians, everything that happens to us in this earth, they are tests of our faith and love for God. So God is testing you. He's testing you. He's testing your faith. And he's testing your love. Yeah. And if you fail the test, it means you have disqualified yourself from entering into his kingdom. And it means you will partake of his judgment that is coming upon this world. Yeah. Because if you deny God, if you deny Jesus in the face of persecution and trials and tribulations, it shows that you do not belong to him at all. Yeah, because nothing in this world should be able to take you away from him. Nothing in this world should be able to separate you from the Lord. Yeah, but if you let anything in this world separate you from him, then it means you have disqualified yourself from partaking in his kingdom. I pray that you will not allow anything separate you from the Lord in Jesus' name. And there's a popular scripture that also talks about these things. That is about we not allowing anything to separate us from the Lord. Romans chapter 8, Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. And let us read from verse 35. Romans chapter 8, from verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness? Yeah, like in the case of the sister I mentioned, who her parents stripped her naked and sent her out of the house because she gave her life to Jesus. Yeah, so this place said, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Yeah. So this man of God is saying, what is that thing that can separate a real Christian from the love of Christ, a true Christian? What is that thing that can separate him or her from the love of Christ? You can ask yourself the same question. Now, what is that thing in this earth, in this world, that can separate me from the love of Christ? Yeah, because I've seen some Christians, they said, I was attending a church and the pastor did something that I don't like. Or some brethren in the church did something and I was very offended. I was very hurt. So I stopped going to church and I stopped praying and I stopped being a Christian. Yeah. Yeah. They stopped every spiritual thing they had been doing because of one offense that happened in the church they attended. That is foolishness. Yeah, because here it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Did you allow your pastor to separate you from the love of Christ? Or some believers in the church? No. Yeah, it means you never really love Christ. If you really love Christ, nothing shall be able to separate you from him. Nothing. Nothing. There was a woman that I happened to meet recently, and she lost her daughter. Before that time, she had lost a child. Yeah, she had lost a child even before losing her daughter recently. Yeah, so she became angry at God. She said she carried her Bible and she threw her Bible. She threw away her Bible because she lost her daughter. So she became mad at God. Yeah, she stopped praying. She stopped praying. She stopped doing everything, every spiritual thing she had been doing before. Yeah, she used to be, or maybe I should not use the, I shouldn't say used to be, she, he is a minister of God, but she stopped doing the work of God because she lost her daughter. Or maybe I should say she lost two children within the space of maybe 3 years or more, if I'm not mistaken. So she felt like, why is God so cruel at her? Yeah. So even right now, as I'm talking to you, she's still struggling to put what happened to her daughter behind. Yeah. So the question is, the question is, what is it in this world that can separate you from the love of Christ? Can the death of a loved one separate you from the love of Christ? Can the death of a child separate you from the love of Christ? And sometimes we need to sit down and think very deep. And that is the, you know, that is the importance of meditation. As a Christian, you need to be able to sit down and think deep and really meditate on God's word and begin to apply God's word on yourself. So you can ask yourself even this same question that Apostle Paul was asking in Romans chapter 8, verse 35. So you can begin to ask yourself, then what is it that can really separate me from the love of Christ? So if you happen to find something that can really separate you, you need to start to work on them now. You need to start to build strength against those things. Otherwise, if God allow any of those things to happen to you, you are gone. You will just fall and never rise again. Yeah. For some Christians, they feel like if I fall, if I sin, I will repent, I will come back. Not everyone have the opportunity or privilege to actually come back. There are people who fell and they never rose again. Yeah, there are people who fell because they lost a member of the family, some because they lost their spouse. They fell and never rose again. Yeah, why? Because they weren't strong in their love for Jesus. They weren't strong in their faith in God. That was why a disaster that happened broke them down and they couldn't rise again. They took many of them were taken to the hospital, to counselors, to rehabilitation centers, but they never recovered. Why? Because they weren't strong before the disaster happened to them. Yeah. So if there is a time when you should really build your faith and love for God, that time is now. Yeah, because you don't know what is going to happen. You don't know. Remember that the Bible says, perilous times shall come. And as I'm talking to you right now, we have not seen any perilous time. More dangerous times are still coming. And those times will prove the faith of many Christians. Those times will prove the love of many Christians. I'm sure you will remember this teaching when those times come. because they will come. Yeah, there's no intercession that can stop those times from coming. They will come. But the question is, will you stand? Will you still stand in your faith when those times come? Will your love for the Lord still remain? Will your trust in the Lord still remain? Yeah, that is the question. But if you think you can escape those times, you are just joking. Because you can't. Those times are coming. Evil days are coming. Perilous times are coming. Satan has a lot of agenda for this generation. And he has a very special one for the church, for Christians. A very special agenda. I mean, evil agenda. Yeah. So if you are just doing bread and butter Christianity, wishy-washy Christianity, I pity you. Yeah. Because we might not see you again in Christ. If you don't build strength now, I pray that the Lord will help you. I pray we help every one of us in Jesus' name. So here, Apostle Paul was asking, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That tribulation, that is, if tribulation comes, will you still have the same love you have for Christ? If distress comes, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword. Verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Through him that loved us. He didn't say in fighting witchcraft we are more than conquerors. He didn't say in fighting sickness and diseases. Those are small things to deal with. Yeah, witchcraft, very small. Sickness, diseases, very small to overcome. Yeah, there are some small things that are very easy to overcome. But this one, not many people are able to overcome these things. Because many people, they don't like to be uncomfortable. They don't like to go through pains. They don't like to be shamed, to be put to shame. They don't like to go through famine, hunger, sword. Yeah. So if you can survive in this thing, that is when you are really more than conquerors. If you can survive in tribulation, in distress, in persecution, in nakedness, in peril, in sword, that is when you are really more than conquerors. When I mean survive, is if you are still able to have the trust and love that you have for God, if you are still able to have that in the midst of all these things, then we can say you are more than conquerors. Now, let us continue. Verse 38, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Yeah, so Apostle Paul did not even stop at earthly things. He went further to even things in the spiritual realms. He said, not even an angel, not even principalities, not even power. I pray that we'll be strong to that point, that death will not be able to separate you from the love of Christ. And even angels will not be able to do that. Now you might be asking, can angels really separate someone from the love of Christ? Of course they can. Yeah. Especially angels that have been deceived. Yeah, so we have some people that they got visions, revelations, and that was how they were separated from the love of Christ, because an angel gave them a vision. Yeah, or a revelation. And of course, such angel was not from God. Yeah. Yeah, and then some people really saw revelations from a true angel. Yeah, but they misinterpreted the revelation and they became proud. And that was how they were separated from the love of Christ. So angels can actually separate you from the love of Christ. From the love of Christ. And that is why you must not consider your dreams and visions and revelations more, you must not consider them as superior to the word of God. You must not consider your dreams, your revelations or visions. You must not consider them as superior to the word of God. If you do, that is how you'll be separated from Jesus. Because there are a lot of spirits that will show you things that are able to take you out of the love of Christ. Yeah, so and then in verse 39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I pray that you will find strength at this time to remain in the love of Christ forever, in Jesus' name. So let us continue. Now we want to look at scriptures that encourages us to suffer willingly for a righteous cause. We want to look at scriptures that teaches us to suffer willingly for a righteous cause. Let us open our Bibles to Jeremiah. Jeremiah Chapter 15. Verse 15. Jeremiah 15:15. O Lord, thou knowest. Remember me and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Praise the Lord. Let us also look at this verse in another translation, Jeremiah 15:15. Then I said, Lord, you know what's happening to me. Please step in and help me. Punish my persecutors. Please give me time. Don't let me die young. It's for your sake that I am suffering. Praise the Lord. Yeah. This is Jeremiah talking to God. And he was saying, God should avenge him. God should fight for him. God should help him. Why? Because he's suffering for God's sake. So when we deliberately suffer for a righteous cause, you will be confident to pray that God will deliver you. Yeah. And God always answers such prayers. Yeah. You will be confident to pray for deliverance. And you will also be able to wait for his deliverance. Yeah, because sometimes the deliverance might not come immediately. Yeah, because here Jeremiah was saying God should deal with his persecutors. Yeah. That God should revenge him of his persecutors. But that doesn't mean God answers the prayer immediately, but he knows that God definitely would do that. Yeah, and is willing to wait patiently. So whenever we suffer willingly for the will of God, for a righteous cause, we have the boldness to up to God to ask for his intervention, and he will also answer us in those times. But if you began to have bitterness and hatred towards the people or towards God, you will not have that boldness to pray for deliverance. Yeah. You will not have the boldness. But here, Jeremiah was bold. Yeah. Because his heart was right with God, even in the suffering. Yeah. So it is God. It is God's business to take revenge on your enemies. It is not your business to retaliate. It is God's business. Yeah. So you just need to pray and God will answer. Yeah. And sometimes it is even wrong to pray this type of prayer. Jeremiah prayed. What do I mean? I'm sure you have read what Jesus said when they crucified him. I'm sure you have read the prayer of Jesus. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. I'm sure you have read that place in your Bible. Yeah, Jesus didn't say, Father, punish them. punish my persecutors. Punish these people that have just nailed me to the cross. Jesus didn't say that. But he said, Father, forgive them. Yeah, let us reach that place. In Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 verse 34. Luke 23 verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. So you can see, here Jesus wasn't even praying the kind of prayer Jeremiah was praying in Jeremiah chapter 15 verse 15. Here Jesus was praying for his persecutors. Yeah, so there are times that it is wrong to ask God to punish your persecutors. Yeah, God expects that you will pray for them. That you will pray for their forgiveness. I mean that you will pray and ask him to forgive them. God expects that. And not only that, he expects that you will pray that they become saved. That they repent and also become saved just as you are now saved. Yeah, so God expects such prayer from us, even during persecution. Yeah, however, there are times that God can lead you to pray the type of prayer Jeremiah prayed. And there are times that the Holy Spirit will not allow you to pray that type of prayer Jeremiah prayed. Why? Because Jesus died for the same people that are persecuting you. Jesus died for them and Jesus wants to save them. So if you are praying that God kill them, how would they be saved? Yeah. Let us look at another scripture. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you know what that means? Jesus said, those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Now, what he's saying is that the whole of heaven will back such people home. The whole of heaven will defend them. Yeah, he's not only saying that those people will go to heaven when they die, which of course they will if they remain in the truth and in love of Christ with them. Of course they will enter heaven. But he's also saying that whenever you are being persecuted for the sake of righteousness, the whole of heaven will back you home. The whole of heaven will defend you. Yeah, you cannot be alone in those times. Even if you think you are alone, you can never be alone. The whole of heaven will back you home. I pray that you remember this word in those moments of your persecution. In Jesus' name, let us also look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Praise the Lord. Now let us look at this verse in NLT. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Yeah. Apostle Paul said, he takes pleasure in insult. Even when people insult him, in weaknesses, in hardships, in troubles, in persecution. Yeah. So we should learn from the life of this man of God. He said he takes pleasure in those things. Yeah, because those things happened to him because of Christ. So whatever happens to him because of Christ, he is happy to go through them all. Are you happy to go through every negative thing that will happen to you because of Christ? Yeah. There are some people that pulled out of the workforce in the church. There has been a worker in the church, but they left. Why? They felt the pastor is putting too much burden on them. Yeah, as if the church belongs to the pastor. Yeah, they felt like the pastor is asking them to do too much. Yeah, the pastor will say, do this, do that, do this, do that. So they felt like nobody is appreciating me for what I'm doing. Nobody even cares. Every time, the only thing the pastor tell me is, bro, or brother, so-and-so, sister, so-and-so, go and do that, do this. So they feel like this work is too much. So they just stopped going to the church. And they stopped working. Yeah, I see They are working for the pastor. Yeah. As if they are working for the pastor, why would you stop the good work you are doing for God? Yeah, because we feel like it's too much. Can anything be too much to do for God? Yeah. Can anything be too much to do for God? If you're already counting that certain things is too much to do for God, you're already failing. Yeah, you're already failing in your work with God. And it will be better if you repent. Yeah, so this man said he is willing to suffer every negative thing, even to suffer weaknesses, infirmity. Yeah, that which means even when he is sick in his body, this man of God, Apostle Paul, will still do the work of God, even when he is sick. Yeah, that was what he meant by infirmities. He said, I take pleasure in infirmities. Maybe I should read it for you again. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. He says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. For Christ's sake, yeah. In infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. So, which means, even in his sickness, he still serves God. Yeah. Even when he's weak in his body, he still serves God. He still do the work of God. Yeah, that is a sign that you really love the Lord. I pray that you will love the Lord as Apostle Paul did. In Jesus' name. Let us look at another scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 5. Second Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Yeah, maybe I should start from verse 4. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 from verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Yeah, I said it earlier, that going through persecutions, tribulations, trials, for the sake of Christ, is how we become worthy of the kingdom of God. Yeah, so it is a righteous judgment of God. God allowed them so that we can be refined. You know how gold is refined? Gold is refined through fire. Yeah. So God's intention is that all those things we have to suffer for the sake of Christ, will purify us, strengthen us, make us grow mature, and then later make us worthy of his kingdom. So that is God's intention. If God did not allow the early church to go through the kind of persecution they went through, many of them wouldn't have made heaven. Yeah, so the persecution helped them to become worthy of entering into the kingdom of God. And that is why I'm afraid about the church of today. Because I doubt if people are still making heaven as I'm talking to you right now. Yeah, because if we want to enter the heaven the early Christians entered, then we have a lot of work to do. Yeah, if we want to enter into the same heaven the people in of the early church in the Bible, in Acts of the Apostles, if we want to enter into the same heaven they entered, then we have a lot of work to do. And I doubt if many Christians are still entering heaven right now. Yeah. It's not like I'm negative minded. Yeah. I think there's a name they call those people. I think they call them sadists. Yeah. I'm not a sadist. Yeah. These are people that they are never positive minded. Yeah. So it's not like I'm being negative minded. I'm just stating the fact, you know, considering what we have seen and read in the Bible. Yeah. And I'm sure many of you are so aware of the current state of the church. Yeah. You are not blind. You can see what is going on in the church. I mean, you can know by the attitude of Christians, ministers of God all over the world. You can tell the present spiritual condition of the body of Christ. So even you can judge. Now, do you think we qualify to enter the same heaven the people of the early church entered? No, this thing is obvious. So you don't even need to go and ask the Holy Spirit. You just sit down and think it from your mind. Yeah, just think it as a human being. Compare how the church is now and how it went in the Bible days. And then ask yourself, if the present Christians really are worthy to enter the kingdom the early Christians entered. Yeah. I believe God will make a way. Yeah, but the truth remains that we have a lot of work to do if we are going to make him. Yeah, even if our children will make it, or grandchildren. Yeah, let us look at another scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. 1 Peter 2, 19. For this is thankworthy if a man, for conscience toward God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Praise the Lord. For this is thankworthy if a man, for conscience toward God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. So you should thank God. You know, we have read similar verses like this from the time we started this teaching on persecution. And all, in all the verses we have been reading or we have read here, it's always talking about be happy, rejoice, thank God, even when you have been wrongfully accused, wrongfully persecuted, or you suffer wrongfully because of your faith in God, or because of righteousness. Yeah, so it shows that there is a great reward that follow this thing. Yeah, there's a great reward. Whenever we suffer for the sake of righteousness, for the sake of Christ, there is indeed a great reward, both here on earth and in heaven. Yeah, so we should be happy when we suffer for standing for Jesus, for pleasing Jesus, obeying Jesus. We should be happy. I pray you will be happy in Jesus' name. Now, let me round off with this. I know that some people are of the mind that God loves us. God loves his own people. He will not allow any bad thing to happen to his own people. Yeah. And some people consider men of God like me that is teaching this thing. They consider us to be extremists. So they consider us to be carriers of bad news. Yeah. And they say, why are you just preaching bad news? The Bible has called us to preach good news. Why are you just saying bad news? Why are you asking for persecution to come? Yeah. I pity those people. Yeah. I pity them. Now, I want you to know that there is no way you will stand for the truth as you should and not be persecuted. Yeah, though the persecution might not be so life-threatening, but persecution is just so natural to our Christian faith, just as healing is natural. I mean, divine healing, sick people getting healed, demon possessed or demon oppressed getting delivered. Just as prosperity is also natural to the Christian faith. In the same way, persecution is so normal and natural to the Christian faith. Yeah, so it is a wrong sign if you call yourself a Christian and you are king of persecution. Is a sign that you are not a Christian. Yeah, because we have read it here before in Timothy, where it says that they that will live godly in Christ Jesus must suffer or shall suffer persecution. Yeah, or maybe I should read that. But we have actually read it here before. Yeah, so if we really please God, or if we are really pleasing God, we definitely must be persecuting. It's just so normal. Yeah, it's in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12. 2 Timothy 3 verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So, is it normal thing? Then why are you scared? Yeah, it's a normal thing. So don't join those other churches or Christians that are saying bad thing must never happen to you for any reason. Even for righteous, even for the sake of righteousness, they are saying bad things should not happen to you even for the sake of righteousness. That is a false gospel. Yeah. Even for the sake of God's work, for the sake of God's kingdom, even for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the gospel, they are saying no bad thing should happen to you. No one should hurt you. Where is that in the Bible? In the Bible? Yeah, that is a false gospel. Yeah, bad things shall happen to us because of Christ. Because we stand for Christ, a lot of bad things shall happen to us. Yeah, and don't say God forbid. If you say that, it means you are not born again. Yeah, because this is not these things are not happening to you because you are weak against demons or against witchcraft. These things are not happening to us because we cannot conquer demonic powers. No. These things are happening to us because of our faith, because we are standing for Jesus. And these things are happening through human beings. I've said it before that there's a difference between persecution and demonic attack or satanic attack. Yeah, demonic attacks or witchcraft attacks, they are spiritual. Yeah, but persecution are physical attacks. Yeah, and demonic attacks cannot prevail over a Christian that is really strong spiritually and is prayerful. Satanic attacks cannot prevail over such Christians. Yeah, but persecution can prevail. God can allow it to prevail over you. Yeah. If you choose to. Yeah. And he can also choose to deliver you from it. So like many people in the early church, they were killed. God allowed them to be killed. In fact, if you read in Revelation, among the churches that Apostle John was writing letters to, Jesus told him that some people in one of those churches will soon be killed by the enemy, by the persecutors. Go and read the book of Revelation. And you can read from maybe chapter 1 to chapter 4. So Jesus said, some people in one of those churches, Jesus said they will be persecuted, they will be killed. But they should not worry that he has prepared a crown of life for them. Yeah, so persecution is not the same as spiritual attack. So this one is physical attacks that is coming from human beings. Yeah. And it is normal to our Christian faith, and we should not be scared of it. The Bible says we should be happy to endure it. And we should not allow them to stop us. Yeah, even in the face of death, continue to preach the gospel. Even with sword, you continue to preach the gospel, even in the midst of death. I mean, threat of death. You still open your mouth. I mean, we have been instructed to still open our mouth and still preach, even when they are going to kill you for preaching or for doing the will of God. I'm going to stop here. I pray that God will give you more understanding. And I pray that your mindset concerning persecution will be corrected in Jesus' name. If you have any question, you can ask on our Telegram platform. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your presence in our midst. Thank you for the things you have opened our eyes to see in your word. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have shown us concerning standing firm in faith and in love for you during persecution and tribulations. Thank you also for showing us that we should pray for our enemies and not seek revenge during persecution. Thank you, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that these things your people have heard tonight, I pray that it shall not depart from them. In Jesus' name, I pray that you strengthen everyone here to become fearless concerning this matter of persecution. I pray that you empower us to fear no man, but only fear you alone, and to do your work with boldness and with strong zeal in these last days. Father, give us such power and strength in Jesus' name. Thank you for that, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we are free. Amen.